outward appearance of interfering in what China views as its core internal affairs is, you know, we need to avoid doing stuff like that, because it only, you know, securitizes Hong Kong in the eyes of Beijing, and it only contributes to, it only provides further justification for people like the Hong Kong Security Force to crack down in Hong Kong. And so I think we need to think about how, you know, we can adapt to China's growing rights abuses and the inevitability of its power without doing further harm to those we're trying to help.
That's Ethan Paul, research associate at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. We'll link to his article, Biden Doesn't Understand the New Cold War. To see part one of our discussion, go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for two full-time jobs, a director of finance administration and a human resources manager. Go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe, wear a mask, save lives.
Vois la ville en fête et en délire, suffoquant sous le soleil et sous la joie. Et j'entends dans la musique les cris, les rires qui éclatent et rebondissent autour de moi. Éperdu parmi ces gens qui me bousculent, étourdi, désemparé, je reste là. Quand soudain je me retourne, il se recule.
I'm Naomi Klein, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing, unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. We are broadcasting from Portland 90.7. If you're listening in the Hood River region, it is 91.9, and in Corvallis, Albany, it is 104.3. And via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. I am Cecil Prescott, and today is the 18th day in the month of October. The year continues to be 2021. And I want to thank all who participated in KBOO's fall drive. It has ended, but if you can still donate by going to kboo.fm, and you can donate to make sure that community radio station stays alive and is active and strong. I'm Cecil Prescott. I'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Celeste Carey. But in the meantime, wanted to share with you that, you know, today is not only Monday, but it is 18th of October, and I think fall is here. Those of us in the Pacific Northwest have been, I have been, let me speak not for everyone in the Pacific Northwest, but I have been spending some time just adoring the autumn colors, and I am just very grateful for the change in season and how Mother Earth, in spite of everything we do to it, seeks to continue to be alive and to assert its rights for beauty. Now, only if humanity could change the way in which it seeks to destroy Mother Nature, we might have hope. But let's hope that we will transform our practices and prepare a world better for our children and the world to be. And Celeste is joining us about now, and I don't know whether or not Celeste has been able to be amazed by the autumn activity. You've been a very busy person.
Well, I'm an autumn baby.
Yeah.
And I just celebrated a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I even saw the leaves and were appreciating them on the way in today. So I catch the leaves every year. They don't ever get by me. The funny thing is, and maybe some other people have this same sensitivity, I can tell the exact moment autumn comes.
Oh.
And it's weird. It's like I hear this little sound in myself, my body, and it's kind of like a ding. And I feel that actual moment when the sun has hit that spot and the earth tilt is just right and the season has changed. And I'm sure there's other people who do feel things like that. I don't usually admit to being that level of sensitive, but yeah. And I consider all of this a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so, you know, for everybody who's out there, I hope they're having as much joy as Cecil and I are with the changing seasons.
Indeed. So just be amazed, and maybe that is a call to action, however you might take it, to do all that we can by our lifestyles and our actions to protect, preserve, and to restore Earth to its glory that it deserves. But enjoy fall while it lasts, and before you know it, it'll be winter, but we'll talk about that when it comes.
Well, you know, I'm a prime, everybody. Here's how I get through it. You know, the days are getting shorter, and for a lot of people, that means a little concern with seasonal affective disorder, which it means not enough sunlight, and you're sad. And so I have kind of psychologically shifted myself so that summer for me ends at the last day of October.
Okay.
Now, so then I have to go through just November and December. December's the first day of winter, but the days start getting longer.
Yes.
So, you know, I just kind of shift that way. And it's, you know, some people will say, well, that's just a little trick. You know, perception is everything, isn't it?
Yes. And I did not know you did the same thing with December. For me, you know, not the beginning of December, when the winter solstice happened, I say, yay, the days are getting longer. Spring is almost here. So
there you go.
Very good.
Very good. So I confess that in my haste, I seem to have left my notes for the show.
Oh.
And I don't want to okay, I'm gonna fess up. I don't want to use up this one because I put a little energy, well, I put more than a little energy into it. But I will prime the pump and I will kind of do a teaser. So last week I had forgotten it was a holiday, and so Cecil and I were off. But I wanted to have last week talked about this whole situation around the Facebook outage, which included Instagram and WhatsApp, and then the fact that it was coincidental to the whistleblower, and then just talk about how that affected us both socially, economically, and politically. However, because I don't have all my notes with me, you know, I would be kind of at loss to go as deep. Oh. So no, we could talk about the topics that you have, because we're finding that it's exploding. And I'm not going to claim to be prescient by any means. You know, I just pay attention to stuff, and I let my nerdiness and my Asperger-ness, you know, take me to places where things make logical conclusions, and sometimes I can hit that nail squarely. And Cecil and I have been talking about how we saw the possible polarization and politicization of COVID kind of develop. And one of the things we mentioned was the fact that we knew that there was going to be some divisions that were going to turn into this camp, that camp, things like forged vaccine cards, because that's what human beings do. You know, most of us have at some point or another tried to pass ourselves off as older or younger to claim some kind of benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, so we do that. The fact that one person got caught so humorously because she didn't know how to spell. She spelled Moderna, I guess, phonetically. And it came out Madderna, but you know, hey, that's how some people speak. And okay. So, you know, there's been a lot of the challenges just keep unpacking with the way COVID has affected us. And that's one of the reasons why I guess I called it a singularity. I don't think it's the singularity, but I think it is most definitely a forerunner. And it keeps showing how true that is by how much it has disrupted human life and activities, not just in our country, but in the world. So once again, here we are looking at how it's impacting our life. And Cecil had wanted to talk about the fact that we have quite a few organized groups that are protesting the mandates for vaccines. And it's really interesting how, when I say organized groups, I don't mean like just in terms of organized labor, but I mean groups that have special training or some other type of designation that kind of sets them apart from the ordinary workaday jobs, more like careers. Well, and so I'm thinking of healthcare professionals. I'm thinking of firefighters. I'm thinking of police officers. I'm thinking of airline pilots and flight crews, and even some folks in the military are protesting the idea of mandatory vaccinations and how that's going to affect us.
I think it's very interesting in terms of how these things are being played out. Mm-hmm. And it's somewhat startling to me. For example, you have traditional conservative Republicans who talk about small government, such as the governor of Texas, who has mandated that private employers cannot require their employees to be vaccinated. Again, it's sort of like, don't you believe in small government and business, but yet you are using your government power to overreach and try to do that. I thought it's also somewhat puzzling to me that those who are often would like a religious exemption to the vaccination seem to forget one of the principles of major religions is to love your neighbor, and you should seek your neighbor's good. And so part of the reason that people are vaccinated is so that they will not negatively hurt their neighbor by spreading a vaccine. So I saw, okay, if you want a religious exemption, which principle of religion has priority over you? And then there is the, for me at least, the strange pushback from, as you mentioned, those who are engaged with the public health professionals and those engaged with public safety, and those people who have been most impacted and work with those who are very ill and resisting the requirement to be vaccinated. And then the selective, for me, the selective outrage, because I don't hear too many of these people also talking about, you know, the requirement we have for our children to go to school in terms of the shots that they have. I don't see too many of these people resisting the requirement to have some sort of shots if you want to go to want to visit certain countries overseas, those type of requirements. And so it's a very strange situation for me, and I think it reveals the inability to be consistent in our thinking. And this is people on all sides. And so today, the 18th of October, is the day that in Oregon and in Washington, state employees are required to be vaccinated. So it's a very interesting mixture of reasoning and logic and perspectives that it would be interesting to hear what some people are thinking. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and let's go to Cody right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste. And happy birthday to you, Celeste.
Oh, well, thank you, thank you.
Cecil just said reasoning, logic, and perspective, and I burst out laughing. I'm logical. I'm reasoning. I've been looking at this, and can we all agree there's been tighter than usual censoring in the last year and a half, 2 years?
Explain that more.
Okay, well, the reason why I ask this is that the level of misinformation and a lot of people denying certain facts or miswording them, you know, a good example is anti-vaxxer. That's a very misleading term, anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. Because there are people who don't want certain vaccines, but they've had every other vaccine under the world.
Yes.
But now, because they don't want a particular vaccine, they're considered anti-vaxxers.
Mm.
There's facts concerning a great deal of this concerning our Constitution and the like that there's just zero debate. I will only hear one side of the story. You remember back like 15, 20 years ago, they would get the left on and they would get the right on, and maybe the host would officiate between the two.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that?
Oh, it's nowhere anymore.
Why? That's my question. Mm-hmm.
Well, if I were to answer that partially, just out of some of the things that I've been taught when I was going to journalism school at Mizzou, and I was also trained to be an information officer in the Air Force, I would say it is to help control the environment. And I'm going to keep it broad, just like that.
I understand. I know if you did any time in the military, if you were an information officer, you also understood that you had to use certain verbiage so
that
you weren't considered a untruther. People would jump to the wrong conclusion if you said, or you're an anti-vaxxer,
mm-hmm.
or people would immediately assume that this person did not get a tetanus shot, or did not get their measles or smallpox, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, you know, one thing to respond to your question, Cody, I think it's also related to the fact that the deregulation the FCC established in the 1990s, where it is no longer required to have both sides in a debate. So you have media sources that are tilt left, or media sources that tilt right, and you don't have the type of debate that we might have had in former times. And I think that's related to the Federal Communication Commission's decision in 1990.
Well, Cecil, what you just told me just floored me. I just fell backwards in my chair, and I'm presently holding the back of my head because I just learned something new. And I mean, we have to really consider the ramifications behind a great deal of this, and it made me go back in time, and I'm doing an in-depth study into Joseph Goebbels right now, and his absolute being the engine that pushed 1940s Germany to where it was, and how it had a very negative effect on regular people's prejudices. Okay, there are a lot of people who give that government a hard time, but you know, I've studied psychology enough to know that a lot of people can get caught up in groupthink.
Yes,
decent people, mm-hmm. you know, and we are approaching that groupthink age to where, I mean, somebody will say something, right, concerning this entire kerfuffle, and I will hear this person, and I will pay very close attention to the verbiage. I've been listening to NPR since a kid. I've noticed a radical change since the 1990s, like Cecil said. I noticed all this really went down. It really got intense in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like really recently, I'm going, oh my goodness, this is like, you know. So I'm pointing out how there's absolutely no debate. And then there is this type of color revolution, Bolshevik type thing, where people are coming out and they're attacking people in a very uncivilized manner. When that wasn't the case once upon a time. Once upon a time, it was like, I hereby challenge you to a dual debate. And they would have a debate, they would get their paperwork straight, and they would just throw facts at each other. And we were able to make an informed decision.
Yes.
Trying to make an informed decision about anything today, especially about our health. Oh, another thing.
And we have a couple of calls behind you, Cody. So
okay, well, I don't want to hold you up. I'll just conclude with this. I will conclude with this. We don't have a country that's ever had any type of public welfare system, a public medical system like Europe or Canada. And all of a sudden, the same system that's never given us a public health care system all of a sudden wants to force jabs on people for their own good. So, and look, this is one size fit all here. It's kind of like giving the same blood type to everybody. No good things are going to happen because humans are very unique in our physiology. Some people are going to have allergic reactions. Some people aren't, which is why I'm noticing a lot of networks out there are not telling you to consult with your doctor first. I don't want to talk a hole in you guys' heads. Nice talking to you. Happy birthday again, Miss Celeste.
Thank you, Cody.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, and in the Willamette River Valley, it's 104.3. Everywhere else, KBOO.FM. Join us here on More Talk Radio, 503-231-8187. And James, I believe, is up next.
Good morning, and happy birthday, Celeste.
Thank you. It was last Monday, but I'm taking it.
Okay. You know what? I mean, you're worth celebrating every day.
Well, yes, that's what I tell myself anyway, and thank you for reinforcing that. I'll pass that on to everybody.
That's all right. That's right. It's funny. Like, I think what people don't really recognize, you know, and while I don't agree with Christopher Hedges on many things, he talks about the economic disenfranchisement, you know, and the last caller was talking about how, like, you know, things have really intensified in the last 10 years. When we look at, like, even the, you know, since, I mean, we've basically been in a 13-year depression since 2008. You know, mm-hmm. people are starved economically, spiritually, mentally. So they are looking to latch on, you know, so the right provides easy answers, you know, like they, you know, say, you know, fascism is a, you know, like it is at heart, a, you know, the telling of a simple folk tale of good and evil. And that's really what it is, you know, these, you know, and it's really sad to say that, you know, the people who are supposed to be on the side of the people, allegedly, the Democrats, are just as culpable, you know. It's like, you know, it's easy to play this evil, good versus evil card when the one group that was supposed to look out for the people didn't, you know, specifically under Clinton, but especially under Obama. You know, not that, you know, they're all war criminals. They, you know, this whole thing is a sham. But, you know, like, especially with the signing of NAFTA, you know, like, that killed American jobs. So this idea that, you know, like, people were going to vote for Clinton when Clinton, you know, while she maybe wasn't president, but she is certainly a part of that legacy, nobody's going to vote for her. You know, like, I mean, the whole point is that it's easy to play this card of good and evil when, you know, it's just the politicians have done everything in their power on both sides to just disenfranchise people, period.
What do you suggest, you know, in terms of getting beyond this so that type of dialogue that's not happening might happen?
Well, my whole thing, so what we need to do is, instead of questioning, you know, conservatism or liberalism, we have to start thinking of terms in capitalism or, in my opinion, capitalism or socialism. Because here's the thing, is it's like, you know, people want to draw, you know, anytime you have this debate, you know, capitalists want to start bringing up body counts. You know, and it's like, okay, so if we want to count body counts, let's start from the time of first contact with Western Europeans. You know, let's go from there. You know, we could, if you, but the thing is they can only compare body counts because they can't compare actual numbers of how people performed under socialist regimes, regardless of how you think they did. Because a lot of what we get in America is just propaganda about socialism. So we really need to start looking at the ideologies. When people talk about capitalism, they always talk about freedom or success or choice, but people don't qualify what freedom, success, or choice are. You know, the last guy was talking about looking into Joseph Goebbels, but then started talking about Bolshevism. Bolshevism is a term from the Nazis, you know? Bolshevik, you know, people don't realize that after World War II, the United States fought tooth and nail to get really prominent Nazi scientists out of the Nuremberg trials and brought them to America to develop the chemical weapons program. You know, like I.D. Farben, you know, like the chemical weapons that were used to destroy Vietnam, the chemical weapons that have been used throughout all these wars were developed through the combination, the reintegration of Nazi ideology back into America, because Nazis were inspired by America. America supported Nazism. So it's no surprise that now, when we would need a socialist movement the most, when we had one 100 years ago, we don't have one because Nazi ideology has propagated through all of the culture. We don't have a strong enough left movement right now to counter it. So, you know, we've got really great individual voices, but we need to stop questioning whether we need to be Democrats, whether it's the Democrats or the conservatives. They're both wrong.
So James, you've shared a lot of information and facts, and it might seem to the listener, I'll speak for myself, you know, overwhelming. You've talked about Nazism, you talk about Bolshevism, you talked about the contrast between capitalism and socialism.
Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too much.
So yeah, but 50. We're on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
15 seconds. What would you like to say?
What I would like to say is that we need to start creating. What we really need to start doing is creating individual. We need to start creating, you know, groups where people can hear perspectives outside of the capitalist fray. I would recommend there's a list of people on YouTube. Hakeem, there's Luna Oi, Richard Wolf has a great one, Democracy at Work. That's a little more palatable probably for most, you know, Western leftists, I guess. You need to start hearing opinions that are outside of the capitalist opposition. That includes Chomsky, Cornel West, and Chris Hedges. As much as I admired them in my younger years, they don't provide a real answer either. The real answer lies outside of the capitalist fray.
Okay,
thank you.
And you are listening to KBOO. We've had a couple of very intense callers who trying to help us out of this weird world we're living in. You know, we've fallen down the deep end. And how do we have meaningful, not only conversation, but transformative ways in which we could get beyond the mess we are in?
Well, you know, I want to categorize this. We were talking about the polarization that came from, you know, just the mandates for the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And in their ways, our callers are trying to point out, well, this is actually not attributable to that small dynamic, but to a larger meta dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to this minister. His name was Dr. Sam Kim. And he calls this particular age he says fear and outrage in the age of vitriol. And I think that kind of sums it up. You know, some of us are reacting out of fear because we fear that something is encroaching upon us, or we fear that we are slipping down into something. And then there's the outrage for those who fear that their privilege might be being eroded, or maybe they are fearing the fact that they're not going to be able to have whatever their dreams dictate. And so this polarization has put us on this, I call it this metaphysical stage. And I guess when you speak to the intensity of the callers, we're seeing that hyper, I don't want to say hyper responsive, but that hyper responsive, I guess that is what I'm going to say, dynamic of please people wake up, or please people stop stepping on me, or something to that effect. And so, I, you know, callers still call in and say what you got to say. But I'm hoping, like Cecil, that we can figure out what are the steps to get us out of this age of vitriol. Let's go to our next caller. Thanks for holding.
Is that me?
Yes, Brian.
It is.
Oh, hi. I learned a lot from the callers that came, and you guys. So I'm just sitting here trying to make a list of stuff that I should be learning. What I wanted to call in was about the vaccines and vaccine mandates and just the whole kerfuffle, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And my, question, actually, I'm just calling in to kind of throw this out. Maybe you can give me some help, and maybe other callers can. And, you know, I'm not a person that does vaccines very much. I haven't done flu vaccines. I tend to not be a big truster of big medicine and all that, and I've got, you know, a lot of friends that kind of feel the same way, and we look back in history and we see the Tuskegee, I think it was, experiment, and how medicine steered people wrong, and so we can't unsee that stuff. But when it came to the vaccine, I kind of just weighed the information that I could get a hold of and what I could understand, and said, you know, the thing, I'm going to take one for the team. I'm going to do what I'm going to go with the pros. That's what they're saying to do, and you know, I'm going to take a deep breath and just do it. And so I did. But we all know that there's big money behind medicine, and I got to say, sometimes I do have questions in my head when I see like what the CEO of Moderna is making off this, and how resistant they are to turning over the, for lack of better terminology, the recipe, or and letting other countries get their people vaccinated. You know, when us as American citizens help pay for the research that went into it, that does put the big question mark, and it makes me understand why people are resistant and hesitant. They think that maybe this whole thing is just big money, making a lot of money off it. So that seems like the one thing they could do to reduce the resistance the most is to say, hey, we've made enough money, let's get everybody in the world. In fact, I'm kind of resistant to the idea of number three, because I want people all over the world to have number one before me, privileged American, gets number three. So anyway, that was my little thing. I wanted to hear what you thought about that, the idea of them making so much money and being so resistant to getting everybody in the world vaccinated.
Yes. Excellent point.
Excellent point. And, you know, there's been times when I've actually thought about resisting that booster for the same reason. Is there is no logic behind it. You have already spoken to the closest logic we're going to find for it. And it's kind of disheartening, but I'll just sum it up as this: greed. Okay, they want the money. We know that we help fund a lot of the research and the progress, just as you stated, Brian. But here's the thing. These companies also pledge to give so many doses to the rest of the world. The rest of the world is waiting while we, you know, and they're starving while we debate about how many slices of dessert and different kinds of dessert can we have, you know, to draw an analogy to Marie Antoinette. And I can appreciate people wondering, well, you know, what is my place in this equation of greed? You know, I don't know that some of the people who are protesting are protesting because of that. I don't know. I do talk to people. I have a good friend whose son is, you know, is a prepper, and is upset about the whole idea of having shots, and he doesn't want one because he thinks if he doesn't get one and he doesn't make his daughter get one, that he's protecting her. So, you know, if you try to throw facts at him, he's going to say, I'm trying to be a good father. What's your issue? You know? And I think we ought to have more dialogue with people. They have these commercials now that said, I talked to my resistant friend, my resistant family member, you know, my resistant coworker, and I listened. And while those are helpful, I don't think they're speaking enough to the concerns of folks that would help allay fears and maybe build bridges. And, you know, I'm not saying that all people who don't want to get a vaccination are wrong. Cecil, no, I had that same idea as the caller before, or maybe it was you that said, take one for the team, you know, because right. My body is resistant to some of these vaccines and I've gotten ill. But I took it. I got both shots, you know, and I went through whatever it was I went through. But we don't talk to each other enough so that folks feel like they're being heard. And we're allowing both our political leaders and the pharmaceutical companies to dictate the narrative. And we gotta find a way to create or force the media, or, you know, get the narrative change, the dynamic change to, I want to hear why you don't want it, rather than you're wrong, you're bad, you're evil, you know?
Yeah, well. And when we're having those discussions, what do you say when, like, for example, I've got some progressive friends that aren't doing it because I think they're followers of, like, Robert Kennedy Jr., who's just anti, you know, anti-vaccine. Immunization, anti-vax, and vaccinations, and you know, what do you say to them when they come back with, you know, well, I don't know any more than any, you know, none of us really know anything. We're not scientists, you know, 99.9% of us aren't scientists, so we just know what we're told. And so we go with what we're told, they go with what they're told.
Well, you know, and I would ask them, how do you view medicine as a whole then? Do you take multivitamins? Do you drink a filtered or a cleansed water? Even the people who are trying to take ivermectin, you have to ask them, what is it about taking a veterinarian medication that makes you feel safer than this other drug? Help me understand what exactly is going through your mind, because, I mean, it's not like we owe each other that. That's what I want to say. We owe each other just the moment to say, I'm listening. Tell me what you're thinking.
Yeah, I hear that. And then going back to that other thing about how we pick and choose what science to consume and not consume. Mm-hmm. And the same people that won't believe these, Dr. Fauci, well, they don't even know the name of the guy that invented their cell phone, and they don't know what it's doing. They don't know what's going on. How does this thing work? Who knows? Right. But they trust it, live their whole life by the thing. But then over here they decide, well, I'm not going to trust that scientist. Yeah, why?
Yes.
Exactly. If you look at the politics of food, you will find that this so-called food pyramid has been pushed politically and economically. It is not necessarily nutritionally sound.
Oh, yeah.
But we swear that's science that says that eat so many grains and eat so many greens and, you know, and all this. And, you know, we need to be, like you said, like everybody has kind of tried to intimate, is, you know, we need to be consistent, but also we need to be able to employ critical thinking.
Right. It's tougher and tougher these days.
It is.
Hey, thank you. I hope somebody else chimes in on this, and I can get edumacated even better.
Well, keep talking to people who think differently than you
and
be willing to listen.
And not just trying to push my agenda on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, You're welcome.
Hey, thank you so much. So one thing that I'm curious about is, you know, these, you know, all of us who say, you know, we want to do our research, and as they call it, just hinted, you know, research is limited to a degree. It's sort of like, yeah, what does that entail?
Yeah, and what sources my resources do I trust?
But I wonder in terms of people, in conversation that I've had with people who say, I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that, and if they have a personal physician, I say, well, have you had this conversation with your doctor? And if you have, you know, a doctor, someone you trust, what is she telling you? And I think sometimes when I don't want to know something, I avoid what seems the thing I should do.
Well, not only that, I would say, you know, as human beings, we also ignore going to the resource that would tell us what we need to know as opposed to what we want to know. That's the human condition. And, in talking to my friend who is very much, you know, a nature child, looks to naturopathic everything. It was a daughter of a park ranger, you know, so it enjoys all kinds of natural ways of doing stuff, you know, and then to have that conversation with her son to tell him, okay, yeah, I know I'm nature mama, but you got to get this shot. You know, you got to be sensitive to how, even though we are human beings, we are all just different expressions of that humanity, and we all have different ways of thinking, but we also have different ways of reacting. There are some medicines or foods I just can't I can't consume because they do me harm. Other people would say, oh, well, my goodness, there's something wrong because, you know, this is the diet you should be eating, or you need more of this, or you need more of that. Or like the doctor who tried to say coconut oil was a poison and nobody could eat it. And all these, you know, brown people said, you know what, we look pretty good and we eat coconut oil. I don't know what your problem is, you know. It's conversation is going to make a difference, but when you're trying to find out who to talk to, start, like Cecil said, with your doctor. If you don't have a doctor, you know what you could try is to try to call one of these, ask a nurse, because a lot of times when we don't have health care, a nurse will be the difference between, you know, wellness and not. Yeah. And I remember when I went to nursing school years ago, you know, we were taught this is the hierarchy for getting, you know, good sense about certain things. If you want to know about medicines, you don't ask your doctor. You ask a nurse or a pharmacist, because the pharmacist has far more pharmacology than anybody. Mm-hmm. And in the time when I went to nursing school back in the 80s, nurses had much more pharmacology than doctors. Okay. Now, it's the dynamics changed a little bit, but here's the basic thing. If you want to know more about how to address this stuff, ask your doctor or your nurse and listen to what they say, and then look at what are the more respected resources for information, and consider them. I'm not going to just jump out and say believe. I'm going to say consider.
Sure. And I think for me, at least, maybe that's where I would begin, you know, saying something to people who have questions. And that's the case just generally in terms of your health. You know, to say that I'm going to do research, well, quite frankly, I don't know what I'm looking for or where to look. So at some point, I have to admit my limitations and then trust those people who actually have the knowledge. And so, as you say, Celeste, you know, the pharmacist, the nurse, or the doctor, and then I think I will listen to you more so if you say, well, I talked to my pharmacist or my nurse or the doctor, mm-hmm. and this is what they said, and I'm going to do X because of Y, rather than I saw something on social media and that's why I going to do something.
Well, you know, it's even important to know how different materials are used. Like when I was in nursing school, people thought having the physician's desk reference called the PDR was the end all and be all. And we were given the Merck manual, M-E-R-C-K. Now, here's the thing. The PDR was a sales tool. You know, and the Merck manual was actually based on the pharmacology, the chemistry, the biology of these medicines, these drugs. And so you have to know how to use the tools even of the trade. PDR is all about selling the physician's drugs. It's not about the helpful information that, you know, something like a digest or a pharmacology textbook would tell you. But we have another caller online. Yeah.
And those are the questions that you need to ask the people who, yes, you know, directly.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Thomas.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Celeste. Cecil. Listen, something just popped out while you were talking here a little while ago, and you made a comment that ivermectin is a veterinary medicine. Well, that is a talking point of somebody to try to denigrate, you know, alternative treatments or even vitamins or anything like this, because that substance, here's how you prove it, just what you said. Go down to the pharmacy, to any pharmacy, and ask the pharmacist if ivermectin is a medicine that they can dispense. And the answer will be yes, because it is an approved medicine. The World Health Organization has promoted this as an essential medicine in the world.
Yeah, for antiparasitic. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. And you know, there have been 4 billion people that have had doses of this, et cetera. Now, I'm not saying that this is the cure for the virus or you should not take your vaccination, but to keep, you know, to keep that information going out there, and I know there's kind of a momentum behind it to say that, you know, this is a horse medicine, and there's a whole big Joe Rogan thing about this, too, if you want to look at that, you know. So please,
You're right. What I should say is they are using it. Most of what you're hearing people buy is the veterinarian processed doses. So the it's not as refined as it should be for the human body, and it's an incredibly large dose that will be harmful to a human being unless they know how to measure the dose.
Yeah, how to measure the dose, because that's, when you buy it that way, it comes in like a, it's like a little cheap throwaway hypodermic, and you just give this whole thing to a 1,200-pound horse.
Exactly.
That's what it says on that, the horse medicine. So you can't do that, but, you know, but to me, people are being driven to that because they're not given a decent explanation and a discussion
exactly
about some of these other, they're helpful substances that can help, that can minimize times in hospitals or prevent time in hospitals, and that would include vitamin C, zinc, vitamin E, all these
vitamin D,
vitamin D3. They've all been in the discussion, but they're not promoted up front enough, at least, you know, in my opinion. And people can help themselves.
And why is that? Why are they not promoted, do you think?
Well, that's where I turn on my cynicism. Mm-hmm. I think they're not promoted because the powers that be that want to, you know, with maybe good intentions, want to solve this problem. They figure that, look at, we got to do something. We can't get people confused, so we're going to push the vaccine, and that's all you hear. Plus, the denigrating people that don't want to take the vaccine or have done other research. There's plenty of research out there to show that the vaccine can have some harmful side effects. So people are scared because they don't trust what's going on around them, and that's kind of a world problem right now. The lack of trust in people in medicine and politics and all of that kind of thing.
And I think that's the more mega problem. So it isn't just about, this vaccine or that vaccine, but it's in terms of communication and trust. It's a larger issue. Yeah. Thank you so much for your thoughts this morning.
Yes, indeed. Okay, and for clarifying, too. Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. For me, I'm just going to fall back on what I've been saying. We got to talk to each other. And I know we often say, in the media, do your research. And you aptly pointed out that do your research is a loaded term. And some people may feel like they are not up to that task. Maybe they're concerned about their ability to understand or read or the truthfulness of the material that they're reading. And so to that end, I just want to say, these are the times where you have to carve out a little few minutes of a day and find some way to inform yourself. And if you really are afraid or leery of a lot of the media resources that are out there, ask your nurses what you can read. Ask your pharmacists. Ask your doctors. Go to reputable medicine resource information. For example, Mayo Clinic is one. I know people have their doubts about the CDC. CDC does what it does. I mean, it's kind of like the government gives you money, the government gives you laws. The government gives whatever. You gotta use your critical thinking. But find someone that you trust and talk to them. But all of us who are out here, offering reasons why you need to get vaccinated, we need to listen more, and we need to call names less, and we need to remember how we feel when something is being forced on us and we're not quite sure if that's what we need or should have. And I'm not saying that's going to solve the problem, but just to quote, you know, Dr. Kim again, you know, we got to deal with the fact that we are being pushed into this fear and this outrage in this so-called age of vitriol, you know, anger, upset, red face screaming and spittle flying. You know, we got to not let ourselves get pushed to that point. And we got to stay calm and responsive to each other as human beings, so that whatever propaganda machine there is out there, it's not going to have the same effect. When you kept angry, you're easy to manipulate. Just remember that. So, you know, get that anger and that suspicion and that vitriol and that fear under control, because when you are explosive in those modes, you are easy to manipulate.
So that sounds wise, yet at the same time, the anger and fear comes from an existential sense that I am in danger.
That's true. I'm not ignoring that. Yeah.
And therefore, you know, anger and fear are legitimate emotions, because they may warn you about something that's dangerous. So I think we need to acknowledge, as you suggest, acknowledge the anger and the fear, and try not to be controlled by it, but also try not to ignore it. And I think we have a challenge is to be able, and we've said this over and over again, to create space where we are able to listen to one another and have honest conversation, respecting all of our differences and where we are coming from. And it is difficult, and sometimes it is easier to try to take the shortcut by name-calling and doing the easy thing.
Well, oh, we got a phone call. Let's see. Okay, one more real quick. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to go really fast. I came from Atlanta, and I moved over here to Portland because of racism. Okay, my mom wanted to put me in a safer environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the transitional period from North Portland being spread out all over, and when they tried to, like, make it, like, gentrification or whatever, change all that, but it actually helped North Portland, you know what I mean? And they basically did exactly what North Portland wanted, which was to clean up the environment, all this kind of stuff. But as far as racism, we were in, I don't know if you guys seen the movie Me, Myself, and Irene. That's where we were when it comes to racism in this country. And now, with all this vaccination and everything, like I tell my friends, this, it's not about racism. It's about, like, control. You know what I mean? Like,
no, actually, I don't. You only got a few seconds, but when you say it's like the movie, what exactly do you mean?
Me, Myself, and Irene is about a state trooper police officer that raised two African-American children, and that's where we were as far as racism in this country until all this media and propaganda started being pushed.
Okay, now, when you say raise these two African-American children, I'm still not getting the connection you're trying to make. Are you saying because a paternalistic environment where you're not given, you know, you...
What they did was they used the race card in order to control the environment, keep us all fighting against each other. Mm-hmm. And now, with this vaccination, as plain as day, you can see that it has nothing to do with race. It's about control, communism.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that call came in a little late for us to really expand, you know, and get to it. But you can't control people who are awake. And you can't control people who refuse to be separated into camps and groups and such. You know, because when people talk to each other, when they link arms and they stand with each other despite differences, they cannot be separated and they cannot be controlled. They communicate among each other and they let each other know where the threats are and where the help is. So I'm just going to end on that. You know, let us support those who are supporting us in being whole, and let us support them in turn. And the best way right now I see out of this age of polarization is to keep building that bridge. It's not easy, it's not going to be fun, but it sure is rewarding.
And you know, we didn't get to a topic that's very much on my mind today, talking about these battles we're in. Was it Big Daddy Kane or KRS-One? Who won the Versus battle? But
I want to say it was KRS, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
So I'm not going to go down in history. Not on that one. Maybe that's something we talk about next week.
All right.
So I probably will bring in the conversation about Facebook, et cetera, but it's not quite going to be from the perspective you might expect. So be sure to tune in next week here on More Talk Radio with Cecil Prescott, myself, Celeste Carey, on your community connection, KBOO Portland. Don't forget, just because the membership drive is over, you can still support us. Go to kboo.fm/give. Or you can text KBOO to 44321. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Keep listening.
This is Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, and this is KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.